My family, my name is Dee Dee, and I'm a recovering addict. And I'm a little horse, but I'm a share. And I got the honor of sharing with one of my big brothers here that I got married for in the Progress Anonymous. Because today I am a member. I am in the program, and proud to say that. You know, at one time I didn't know what in this program. I got here, first introduced to the program in 1987 with the help of my father. I was still in denial, so I used for another year in 88. I went to treatment, and then I was introduced to in D.C. and fell in love because I always been a group of people. Always. So I immediately was attracted. In 1970, well, let me jump back. In 1990, I had my first child. And in 1993, I got married and I had my second child. In 1997, I was diagnosed with lupus, which is a blood disease that affects every part of your body. It wants to attack your organs and kill you. In 1999, I abandoned my husband and my children. In 2002, I relapsed. Those are the very important parts of my story that I need to share, and I'm going to stop right there at the relapse, and I'm going to talk about the mental, physical, and spiritual aspects of disease. And I've said the word disease for many, many, many years and never asked what it was. Not one time. You know, and that was one of my issues. I came in here, I am an intellect to the fifth power. So I learned very quickly. But all I want to do is teach. All I want to do is teach. So I gathered up a bunch of sponsees. We did a lot of little outside events. We did a step work when we could. But the bottom line was none of it was being applied. Stay clean one day at a time. By God's grace, and at that time, I didn't have no idea what it was. All I knew is I was addicted to Narcotics Anonymous, and I kept coming back. You know, I was always successful getting careers. So careers was not my problem. I got a career today, and that's not a brag. That's just how it is. I just never knew how to deal with my emotions. I wound up, before I married that guy, we lived together. We had our first apartment, and come to find out he had married somebody while we were living together. So that was my first introduction to severe emotional pain in Narcotics Anonymous. No, being clean. That was my first. So, you know, I wound up murdering this man. He got a norm, and I murdered him a year later. It never addressed the issue. So that means I'm living with this man with this resentment that I don't even know I got. So I married him. You know, we had these two children. We were building house. We built house. Until I finished furnishing and finished clothing and finished protecting everything. We did NA very well, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We did the fellowship. We were the house. So all of that began to die. And after I finished furnishing the home, I said, now what? There was a void so big in my soul, I can't even describe it. All I could do was start finding shit wrong with that man. Everything I could think of that was wrong with him, down to what he wore to bed at night, became an issue for me. I never looked at myself. I shared with my sponsor. She would tell me things. But I wasn't open. I didn't know I was open. Then I didn't even admit the fact that I had only did part of the first step because I wasn't even aware. We coming in, I thought I was right to the fourth step. No, it says start at one so you can understand what you, why are you here? We don't start at four, we start at one. I admitted I was an addict. You know, I continued to live in that situation until I couldn't take it no more, and I said I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy. You know, as a direct result of not being happy, you know, they didn't like that. They didn't like it. So the next day I was supposed to have another answer. And because I didn't, they packed my stuff and told me I had to leave. A lot of people don't know that because I'm the only one that could tell my story. You know what I'm saying? They think I left with a woman. Yeah, well, eventually I did because she became a victim of my circumstances and she helped me while she was just as depressed as I was, going through a breakup of her own. And we thought we were helping each other and we were killing each other. And she's still my friend to today because that's what she was in the first place. We turned it into something else. You know, and as a direct result of that, I found myself on my job, working at the airport, big and lit up as it is, walking in the dark. It was so dark in there. I can remember clearly walking in the dark. And because I live with a gay woman, I decided, oh my God, I need some help. I'm going to PIW. And, so I wind up going to the group, the gay outpatient group, instead of the regular outpatient group. You know, that's all I knew at the time. And in the moment, yeah. You know, and the thing about it is, I still wasn't getting it. What I did learn is about the mental illness, which talks about depression and anxiety disorders. And they'll give you any goddamn thing to take. They'll give you anything. You know what I'm saying? But what I didn't do was ask what was a mental illness. Never asked. You know, those are the things that I'm learning today that I didn't know then because I had a spiritual void back then that I had no idea because I would talk about God and being rich in things and money came by and all the other fancy cliches with things I related to blessings with things. Not the inner spirit, even though I knew. And I would have people, oh, I love how you share. Oh, yeah, because I'm an intellect. I can get it. I can share it with you. Yeah, but to understand and gather wisdom from it, you know, I used in the group therapy. So that means my humility hadn't set in yet. I was still doing me. The self-centeredness, the resentment. And I got this right here. The triangle self-perception has been and still is one of my favorite PIs. But guess what? I was only living the first part. Anger, resentment, and fear. And fear is always going to be the core for me. Everything else branches out like a tree. You know, I could break it down because I'm an intellect. But, you know, the longer you stay and get understanding of why you're here, you'll understand why fear is the core. It don't want me to do nothing positive. I had no positive thoughts in group therapy. I still want to teach the class. I want to get up front. I don't never know how to keep my hand down. Humility is, shut up. Learn how to listen, DD, so you can get the damn message. How you gonna learn a lesson if you always talking? Always talking. You know, and I need to still remind myself on a daily basis exactly what I just said. You know, so when I used in 2002, I had a vicious ass whipping with a bomb enabler. You know, enabled me to the fifth power till I couldn't get back to y'all. I ain't even wanna go. That was the other resentment. the Narcotics Anonymous people in fellowship that doesn't know what to say out their mouth, so I'm going to do them, get my six-pack, and keep it moving. And every day became a six-pack. Next thing you know, I wanted to try something different. Next thing you know, my guilt and shame kicked in, you know. But then I never talked about the fear of how I didn't believe that I could live on my own. Somebody I've depended on people all my life. You know, I thank God for my spirits. And I don't just say that because in the midst of all that, I had three near-death experiences. And the greatest of them all was the one when I was gone for 3 days, didn't realize until I woke up, and I said, "Where's my phone?" They said, "Man, we don't have phones in ICU." I said, "I had a phone in here." No, but I had died, and they brought me back to life. So anybody that think they gonna, man, look, it ain't a whole bunch of nothing you could do. I'm living with an illness that wants my life, just like the disease of addiction. You know, and I come to find out that the mental health is anybody that deals with severe emotional problems. God damn, raise up, Dee Dee. No longer denial. I am now dealing with mental, physical, and spiritual. I ain't jumping past mental because I'm in denial, or physical because I don't know what happened, or pretending I don't. I used for years, God damn it. What you think it's going to do to your body after a while? You know, even though they don't know where lupus come from, just like addiction, just like the disease of addiction, they don't know where it come from. And there's no known cure. How about that? So the only thing I got is to sit back and find a way to have it treated. All of it. I got to treat this shit. All of it. Got to be treated. If I don't come in here and take care of myself, I'm finally learning how to take care of myself. Finally. Finally. So, you know, when they told me that, you know, when they saved my life, I still couldn't believe it. I was alive. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was alive. And I still went back out there for two more months. That thing is deep. That thing is powerful. It don't want me to do nothing good. It don't want me to do nothing good. So this way, come in here and get busy, Dee Dee. Come in here. I came back. God allowed me. Let me tell you something. I was in a basement. We talking about finding more ways and means to get more. And I'm sitting there twirling. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm high delirious. I'm high delirious. I'm high. I want some more. My illness had me in, because I couldn't even trick if I wanted to. I was in so much pain from my lupus. I could barely walk. I sent people to get stuff. Y'all know what happened. You know, y'all know what kept happening. Right. So I'm so sick. Some days I'm like handyman. You feel me? And I can joke about it now, but it took me a long time to even accept. We're talking about 1997. I probably just started to accept this disease 2 years ago. I'm still working on it. Because it cripples me sometimes. It hurts. And then you know what really hurts? When I'm walking, people don't understand the pain. And you try to embrace yourself, but you want to hug. But the next time they see you, they won't even hug you. Because they ain't sure how you're feeling. That's painful. That's more painful than the goddamn disease. That's more painful. Give me a hug. I don't care how I feel. Don't try to figure it out. Because I'm going to protect myself. Thank you. I'm almost done. It's a powerful program. The disease is powerful, but the program of Narcotics Anonymous is any. We're talking about, I don't know how it works. God damn it, it tells us how it works. Hey, pick up the book. Read. It tells us how it works. And it does. And ever since I've been in the program, it's been working. Three different things tried to attack my emotions today. Three. I went in that room and I prayed. Just to calm my spirit. Because I live with a soul sickness that don't want me to do good. You know, but I had to grow up eventually in the process. And the only way I learned to grow up is to learn about me, not you. And that's what that thing was trying to get me to do, coming here and talk about y'all today. And it ain't about y'all. Because I refuse to carry other people's shit today. I refuse. I might feel it for a minute, but good God Almighty, it ain't gonna be that long. You know, because you told me I had an assignment to do, Francis. That's what helped change my mood. Yeah, bring me back. Bring me right on back so I can go in here and share my spirit, strength, and hope on illness and recovery. Because it ain't just the physical part. It's not. And if I don't get in touch with the mental part, it's a whole lot of other things I ain't going to be able to get in touch with. It's real. It's not there for nothing. They don't tell us that for nothing. You know, and I know a lot of people that I grew up with in here back from the 80s that are now identifying in with the mental. The older they get, I'm like, this just ain't right. Something just ain't right. Oh, I think I got it. I'm crazy. You know, but we get better if we take care of ourselves. Well, when they say do the step work, it ain't just do it, because I can write all day long. I can write all day long. But if I come in here and shut up and listen, you know, that's the humility. Shut up and listen so I can start understanding what it is I just did. So my spirit changes as my work changes. And I understand, like, the third step, the last page, and I don't do that often. I don't know about numbers or none of that quoting shit. But I do know that part carried me when it talked about my strongest power or source is going to come through. I mean, you know, God is my strongest power, a source that gives me courage and strength to go on. And it's real. You know, and that's one thing my sponsor tell me all the time, pray for courage. Pray for courage. You can do anything you want to do, you know, emotionally, physically, whatever. And there's a whole lot of limitations I have now. I got a lot of limitations. But you better believe I don't lay there in depression no more, because what I found out about that is it wants me, because it's that anybody with mood changing, altering, chemical dependencies that stay, keyword, depressed, normally return. Yeah. That was my story. I returned, you know. Mm. But I'm here today, and I've been back since 2007. Yeah. Yeah. Truly grateful that I'm willing. But the first thing I had to do is get honest. And that ain't something that you just say out your mouth. It's a true bill. I gotta get honest with myself. I gotta tell it like it is. I couldn't even admit I abandoned my children. I couldn't admit it. It took a long time. Yeah. And it don't feel good. You know, and then Donna beat me in the head, you know, a couple weeks ago. Come on, we gotta get real. We got to get real if we're going to live. This program teaches me how to live. You know, and I want to thank the area, the committee, for asking me to share my spirit, strength, and hope on illness and recovery. I love you, friends. Thank you, Pooh.